Hello, Church. Welcome to GrowPoint, the vow online service. And I want to ask you to prepare na daan inyong communion elements with you because later we will be sharing the Lord's Supper together as a community. Okay, so if naka-prepare na ka, mas maayo. And if wala pa, please, please do. And today we are launching this brand new series called Rethinking the Church. And I know daghan kayo tayo opinion, right? Sa about the church and those opinions kayo sa na shape na siya sa atong experiences. Maybe some of you kay always mo nag-adog church and with your experiences and practices and the culture and tradition na imong nagkakita, you have this views karon nga ingani dapat ang church, dapat ingani ang i-prioritize, or perhaps some of you belong to a group of people nga dili ganahan sa mga tao, right? Because you've been hurt by the people of the church, gikondem ka, and those experiences also shaped the way you view the church, and that it's full of hypocrites and unloving people who don't really embody what they say they believe. So maybe our view of the church is based on experiences, and we know that we cannot really rely on experiences, right? Because it's very, very subjective. That's why the goals aning a series are, first, to let God's word shape our understanding of the church and our practices in the church. Nga naa jud ta biblical basis unsa gyud ang church, not based atong experiences kung unsa giingon ni pastor or ni kuya or ate or ni small group leader or sa imong parents or kung unsa imong naandan or naobserve or kung unsa imong preference. No, we want to make sure nga atong understanding is shaped good shapes a word sa Ginoo, that our understanding of what the church is all about, what we do in the church, is shaped by the scripture. Nga dili ta mo ingon, this is my opinion, or this is how I do church, but we will always say that this is what God's words say about His church, and therefore, mao ni ako ang buhaton. And ang second goal nato is to know how we as the body of Christ can really work together that makes up a healthy church. We aim na mamahimo tanga healthy nga church. And as we know that the church is not a building, it's not a social club, but the church is a body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we who are members of the body have these roles and responsibilities to play in order to be a healthy and effective body of Christ. And by the way, the phrase "the body of Christ" is a common New Testament metaphor for the church. And one example for this is found in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 13. And it says here, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." So Paul uses the illustration of a human body here to show that we are a group of people who share the same life in Christ, who belong to the same Lord, who are filled with the same spirit, who are given gifts by that same spirit, if you read the preceding passage, Annie, and that we as members of the body are intended to function together. We are to work together to be a healthy church and, of course, make an impact to the world. So we should act and look like a unified body. But how can we function well and be unified as a body, as God calls us to be, if we are not aware of our roles and responsibilities, whether you are a leader or a church member? So hopefully this series will help you see the commitment, the responsibilities, and the contribution that you are commanded to do for the building up of one another and ultimately for the glory of God. And I hope katunga mga goals are clear sa kining a series. And again, I want to use the analogy of Paul that he mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, that we are the body of Christ. And of course, ang usa ka body, it has certain features, right? Nay skeleton that gives the framework, nay internal systems or organs, nay muscles and flesh. You know, remove any of these key features and dili gud ka makasurvive. Dili gud makasurvive mi mga body. And same as true with the church. And let me show you our roadmap on where we are going sa series, okay? So, a church needs to have a skeleton. Very important. For a body to function, it has to have structure. Imagine if wala tabukog, di ba? Di na to kaya ma-imagine, right? I mean, kung wala ta bones, wala mag-provide support sa atong muscles, right? And skin, and wala po mag-protect sa atong vital organs. Dili ko expert aning, you know, human body organ system, ha? I just made a research on sagit ka importante ang skeleton or bones. Likewise, there are also skeletal truths, non-negotiable skeletal truths that we need to be committed to in order to have a good structure, because having the right framework is very important. The foundation really matters, right? Now if you reject this or compromise aning ang mga skeletal truths, other features of the body will be affected. So and mauni ato ang focus for today. And the skeletal truths that we need to embrace. And in the next Sundays to come, we will also talk about the internal systems or certain attitudes that we need to cultivate as a church. And then we will focus on the muscles and the flesh. It's referring to different functions and the outward forms of programs. We will talk about evangelism and discipleship and giving and so on. And lastly, we will talk about the head. Of course, no body is complete without a head. Napay body nga wala head, wala, right? And atong i-discover, what does it mean that Christ is the head of the body? And that's going to be the conclusion of this series. So now, we will focus on the skeleton, and I have 5 points. But today, I will just focus on the three, or the first three. Then na ata part 2 ani next Sunday. So are you ready? Let's go. So the first non-negotiable truth that we need to embrace and not compromise is this: the glory of God. And of course, the Bible does not leave us uninformed when it comes to the purpose and the centrality of the local church. The local church exists for the glory of God. And the word glory, by the way, in the New Testament, Hebrew scriptures, bears with it the idea of greatness, heaviness, or splendor. And in the New Testament Greek, the word translated glory means honor, praise, or to extol. So if you put the two together, it means that the church exists to acknowledge his greatness and to give him honor for who he is and what he has done. And we see that over and over again throughout the scripture. In Isaiah 43, 1 through 7, if you read that, God created and formed this small nation, Israel, for his glory. And in Psalm 106, verse 8, it says, "Yet he saved them," referring to this nation, "for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known." God rescued Israel from Egypt and from exile for his glory, or for his name's sake. And we as a New Testament church are created for that same purpose. Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 11 through 12. "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ," referring to the believers, "might be for the praise of his glory." So you and I, we as a church who put our hope in Jesus Christ, exists for the praise of his glory. And the unbeliever as well is meant to see the good deeds of the Christian and go on to glorify God. So one of the most quoted verses in the scripture is Matthew 5:16 that says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, and that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So see, it's really obvious. God's glory was the theme of the Old Testament from early times and remained so even in the New Testament era. And we as the body of Christ are to extol who God is, his attributes, his character, his holiness, his faithfulness and grace and mercy and majesty, sovereignty, his power and omniscience, and to tell others about who God is and what he can do. So it's very clear that we exist to glorify God and bring him glory. But here's the problem. There is a temptation for humans to really steal glory from something or someone, right? People want to live for their own glory, for their own names and persona. And to make this statement that it's all about God is really so countercultural, if not foreign sa atuang ungodly society today. People want to be known, to be championed and glorified, to be recognized, and dili lang ni sa society, but also we see this within the Christian church. And let me show you some manifestations ending a problem. First is this: there is what we call a Christian celebrity culture where we tend to idolize leaders, you know, placing them in a high position, putting our faith and allegiance to them rather than to our Lord Jesus, that we have created false gods in God's place. And we also have prosperity gospel. Many today are distorting the message of the gospel and using Jesus as a means to the blessings of health and wealth. And I heard this interview of Costi Hin. He is the nephew of the world famous televangelist who is promoting a prosperity gospel. I'm not going to mention the name, but I think Nanamoy hints sayang last name, right? This man had a front row seat to the inner workings and theology of the prosperity gospel. Na experience gud niya, nakita gud niya ni, and what is happening inside. And this is actually what he said. This is what he said in his interview, that this prosperity gospel, that it's man-centered, right? It's man-centered and it's driving people not towards the cross, not towards repentance, not towards faith in Christ for who he is, but into a transactional and works-based relationship with a God that is barely recognizable, who is not really sovereign. We're sovereign. We're the puppet masters. He's referring to God, the puppet. Our faith and our money and our big declarations make him do what we want. And this is really the reality. And these are the words of someone who saw face to face the hypocrisy and the devastation caused by this belief system. And again, the heart of the prosperity gospel is to use God to do whatever he wants, or whatever the person wants God to do, like a genie in a bottle, right? Instead of God being at the center, man's needs becomes the center. Instead of God being the one to be worshipped, the wealth, the health, and power now becomes the things nga ginaworship sa mga tao. Instead of God seeing God, instead of seeing God's greatness and revering him for who he is, and trembling in his presence, God becomes the puppet to be used. And another manifestation is this. There's what we call consumer Christianity, right? Today, we also have consumer Christians plaguing the church who think that the church exists for themselves rather than God. Instead of coming to church to worship God and experience God through his word and the fellowship, ang reason nandoon nga muadto sa church kay tungod nice ang music, nice ang environment, na mga nindot nga lights, you know, na ay mga have this coolest kids program and the most up-to-date technology in their worship services. Now, I'm not saying this to criticize katong mga churches nga naay nga ni ka abundant nga resources, ha, kay kita pud ba ya as a church kay nagapaningkamot ta na, but ito yung mga lights, right? And nagapaningkamot pud ta to pursue excellence at worship experience. And please don't get me wrong, but my point is, if kanara imong motivation nga mo adto ka sa church service, that's really shallow and unbiblical. If you sing songs just to feel this, you know, ooey gooey feeling or warm feeling, kay nindot kayo ang pagka-play sa band, rather than understanding the song that you're singing to direct your attention to God, to his awesomeness, to his greatness, that's wrong. And if you want to hear motivational, inspiring messages that make you feel good about yourself, dili ka to makakonvict and would lead you to repentance, because you know you just go to church to relax and unwind yourself after a hard week, and dili ka ganahan to reveal the idols sa imuhang kasing-kasing, because makastress na og samot. That's actually wrong. But this is the sad truth. We treat Christ and his body like commodities that exist to serve our wants. We treat believers and the church as things that need to impress us. That's why uso kayo karon ang church shopping. And if dili ta masatisfy sa usa ka church, mag-church hopping na dayon ta. That's really unbiblical, honestly. Because the church exists for God, not for you. It's the pillar of the truth that speaks the word of God, whether you like it or not. It's a church full of people who are eager to sacrificially serve one another rather than to be served, just like Jesus who came to serve and not to be served. That's why it's really important, kaning a skeletal truth, to really understand and embrace that it's all about God. This is what we desire to see in our church as well. Our mission statement is, we exist to what? To glorify God by making disciples in the spirit of love. We exist to glorify God, and our mission and discipleship is directed towards that goal. It's all about extolling and worshiping him alone, not any man, not any church, not any strategy, nor anything in this world. So let me ask you a question. Why do you attend here sa itong online service today? What's your motivation? Also, if you search imuhang kasing-kasing, do you really treasure God's greatness and magnificence more than the fame or money or status or success or approval? Again, The local church was founded by God for the purposes of God and the glory of God. Our task is not to define it according to our own desires or anyone else's, but to learn how God defines the church according to His word. And next, a second non-negotiable truth that makes up the skeleton of the church is the absolute authority of the scripture. Absolute authority of the scripture. Absolute priority sa pulong sa Ginoo. And if we are concerned with God's glory and what brings him glory, then we must agree. We must agree and submit to the authority of the scripture that reveals to us who God really is. Because how can we worship Him if wala ta kailasiha through the scripture? And how can we know what brings glory to His name if dili ta guided sa iyahang mga pulong? Right? And here's the truth. Whether we realize it or not, we all give someone or something the last word. It could be our parents, the government, our feelings, our experiences, our culture, or our personal opinions. Of course, for Christians, kabaluta, that the authority is the Bible alone. We just had a series called God Breathe about the authority and the sufficiency, usefulness of the Word of God in our lives. We believe that the scriptures have absolute authority sa atong kinabuhi because God has absolute authority sa atong life and scripture is His personal word to us. We believe that, right? And in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, it says here, all scripture is breathed out by God, meaning it comes from God. He is the source. God is the author. Therefore, the Bible is authoritative and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, Pastor Mark did an excellent job in getting into the details, kining my passage, and I encourage you to watch his sermon available on our YouTube channel. And ako na lang ni-summarize, right? Ako na lang ni-summarize that the Bible provides the authoritative rule of faith and conduct, the conviction of sin when we fail, what is needed to restore us to get back on the right track, and instruction in right living so that we can have this right character and behavior to really glorify the Lord Jesus and we can be equipped for every good work that He has prepared for us. But naay mga human standards today that is kind of challenging the authority of God and worst, rejecting the authority of God's word. First is this, personal opinion. Naay philosophical view today called relativism. It means that absolute truth is not really knowable and worse, it's obsolete. There's no such thing as absolute standard for everyone. No standard is valid for everyone. Right and wrong is just a matter of opinion. For example, if your statement that sexual relations between two males, you know, the same sex, or maybe abortion is wrong, that is relative sa imuhang standard of measurement, but you cannot really claim it that others should submit sa imuhang standard. And if God's word is your standard, dili na nimo ma-impose on everyone. And don't try to tell anyone that they are wrong because there's no absolute universal truth. But actually, this claim is a faulty claim because if a person says that there is no such thing as absolute truth, that person is actually making a statement that he or she believes to be absolutely true. Diba? Contradicting kayo. But many people of today, we, including Christians, we trust our own judgment more than the Word of God, right? You know, we say that this is my personal opinion and sa kini nga issue and if lahi mo ha, okay na. Yes, naman gid na mga topics nga dili gyud clear sa scripture and we cannot be dogmatic about it. But there are also certain topics that is so clear and we need to make a stand for it, right? Like same-sex marriage, abortion, sex before marriage, and other issues. Clear ni sa Bible nga sala ni sila. But sadly, instead of standing for the truth, we try to water down the scriptures so that dili ra kayo offensive sa mga tao or we accept ang opinion sa uban. We accept their opinions for the sake of love, you know, even if kabaluta that it's clearly wrong according to scripture. But if we truly believe that the word of God is or has the absolute authority in our lives, then we must be humbly accepting what it says, even if it's inconvenient for us. Next human standard is our feelings. Now, common kayo ni. Emotions are perhaps the most popular basis for making choices today, right? After all, kinsa man maka-argue with how you feel. You know, the mantra today, follow your heart, is embraced by many people, including Christians. And essentially, it's a belief that your heart is a compass inside of you or a true guide that will lead you to true happiness if you just have the courage to listen to it. It sounds so beautiful and liberating, but this mantra isn't actually found in the Bible, my friends. The Bible actually thinks our hearts have a disease. Jeremiah 17, chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick." Can you hear that? Who can understand it? And it says, our hearts have a disease, okay? You have a problem within your heart. And our hearts, and Jesus, the great physician, lists the symptoms of this disease in Matthew 15, verse 9. "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander." So, not a problem. And John Bloom, in his book, Don't Follow Your Heart, says this. I quoted this before, but I will quote it again. He said, "The truth is, no one lies to us more than our own hearts." No one. If our hearts are compasses, they are Jack Sparrow compasses, you know, the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. They don't tell us the truth. They just tell us what we want. If our hearts are guides, they are Gothels, the antagonist in the Disney animated movie Tangled. They are not benevolent. They are pathologically selfish. In fact, if we do what our hearts tell us to do, we will pervert and impoverish every desire, every beauty, every person, every wonder, and every joy. Our hearts want to consume these things for our own self-glory and self-indulgence. So, brothers and sisters, you cannot really trust your heart. But sadly, usahay, mas buhaton pa nato on what we feel can make us happy and give us pleasure, and let our feelings rule or have its ultimate authority rather than God's word. Nga bisan unsa pa nga mga teachings or tambag imong madawatan from Christian friends, usahay di gyud ta maminaw because we feel like what we're doing is right even though obvious na kayo sa scripture that it's wrong. No wonder we experience this regret, sadness, hurt, and broken relationships with God and with others. So my encouragement for you is, don't follow your heart, but follow Jesus. And how can you follow Jesus? It's by believing His words and teaching, and let it guide you. Say mo ang kinabuhi. If your heart will try to shepherd you today, do not follow it. It is not a good shepherd, but God is our good shepherd. John 10:11, it says here that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So listen to his voice as his sheep and follow him, not listen to the voice of your heart. Can you trust him? Can you trust the authority of his words in your life? Yes, of course. You can, because he loves you so much. He wants the best for you that he's even willing to lay down his life for you as a good sheep. And third, human standard is this. Personal experience. Now, some people claim na nasila religious experiences where God told them something to do this or where He revealed something to them. And the most common phrases nga madungan nato nowadays is, God spoke to me, or God told me to do such and such. And others, moingon po sila that from my experience, I believe God wants me to do this or do that. Ang danger ani is, even if it goes against the scripture, wala sa scripture, still, some believe that their final authority is their experience. Mao nang naikulto karon diri sa Davao City because someone had a revelation, and nga siya daw ang son of God, right? And surely experience has a place in the Christian life, but it should not be the one that guides our decisions or our decision making or teaches us doctrine. We don't judge the Bible but by our experience. Rather, we judge our experience through the lens of the scripture. Again, instead of allowing your opinion, your experiences, and even your feelings, your emotions, nor any person to be the authority over God's word, we must allow God's word to be the authority over us and filter everything through the lens of His word. Now, my third and last point for today is this: the sound doctrine. Now, doctrine simply means a body of teaching or instruction. In Christian usage, it refers to Christian teaching about scripture, God, Christ, about man, salvation, and about the church. Like right now, what we are actually doing is learning the doctrine of the church or what the scripture teaches us about the church. And a sound doctrine is really important for the health of the body of Christ. Paul tells us in Titus 1 verse 9, he said, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. You know, the word sound here means healthy. So sound doctrine that accords with God's word makes a church healthy. And he says in 2 Timothy 1 through 13 to 14, he said, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So this is what Paul said to Timothy. So according to Paul, doctrine is among the things that matters the most for the well-being of the church. And Paul, I believe God also plays a high value on sound doctrine. And we must, as Christians, whether you are a church leader or a member, we must value sound doctrine in our lives. Because here's the warning. Here's the warning in 2 Timothy 4, 3 to 5. It says here, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears. You know, itching ears meaning a desire for hearing something pleasant. That people will have a desire for someone to tell them what they want to hear, not what God wants them to hear. And so they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths or any stories that are not grounded in the truth. And we're seeing this right now, right? People want to hear a watered-down and compromised gospel in order to feed their own greediness and selfishness. People come to God for money and pleasure without the intention of experiencing God himself. We have this name it and claim it theology. You know, if you just name it, okay, name this, and you can have it. Now, what happens is faith becomes now a force to get what we want rather than an abiding trust in God, no matter what is the outcome. And people nowadays are not interested in hearing the word of God to learn more about God so they can worship him better, or hearing things that might convict them of the sins, but they want to feel good, you know, a feel-good kind of preaching. Ano sa hay, mas interested pa, maminaw sa mga motivational and inspiring na mga talks about rather than listening to the doctrine of God, Holy Spirit, hell, heaven, and so on. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we need to go deep. Kay kung vague and shallow atong understanding, it affects the way we live our lives, right? And here's the truth. What you believe determines what you do. We always act upon what we believe, right? And doctrine is very important because ultimately the decisions that you make and the actions that we perform will be based upon the teaching or the doctrines that we believe. So if you, like for example, if you believe that God, that good works is the basis sa salvation, para mauluwas ka, it affects the way you live honestly. You do good things in order to be accepted by God, which is a false doctrine or teaching, because salvation is always the gracious, undeserved gift of God given freely by faith in Jesus, right? So, and also if you believe that God is like a grumpy old man waiting to punish you, or gabaan ka if makasala ka, which is one of the widely accepted teachings sa mga Pinoy, right? Kaning gaba-gaba. Then it affects how the way you relate to God, that you don't see him as forgiving and a loving God. See, sound teaching is important. And if you don't take that seriously, the world and our culture will try to indoctrinate you. Again, the world and our culture will indoctrinate you. I saw a recent video. It's about a message from gay community performed by San Francisco Gay Choir. And the message they want to convey is quite scary. And let me just read some lyrics song. Okay, and here it goes. They say, you think we're sinful. You fight against our rights. You say we all lead life you can't respect. But you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once you're correct. This is the chorus. We'll convert your children. happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. Will convert your children, will make them tolerant and fair. Your children will care about fairness and justice for others. Your children will work to convert all their sisters and brothers. Then soon, we're almost certain, your kids will start converting you. Now, those are just portions adding a song. If you can watch sa YouTube if you like. But if you go deep sa ilang song, what they are actually conveying is really not to make the children like them, but to redefine what fairness and justice is. That fairness is about approving what this gay community are doing. It's about loving and affirming, not hating. You know, what can make someone happy, dapat supportaan lang. But we know that's wrong, right? I mean, sa to apod, careful po ta as Christians not to condemn this group of people. But it doesn't mean that po na we don't love them because we speak the truth to them about what God says sa yahang pulong, not our personal opinions on this issue, right? We love them enough to tell the truth sa ilaha and hopefully they will turn from error. And this is just a reality, honestly, that if you don't study sound doctrine, wala ka grounds sa scripture, you can't be able to discern the ideas that are being thrown at you. The message is really appealing, you know, and it sounds true, right? That if you love people, affirm and tolerate what they are doing as long as it makes them happy. But it's really not biblical. So brothers and sisters, there's no such thing as neutral ground here. It's either you are influenced by the word or by the world. And we have so many ideas today that sound so appealing, right? But lie the eye, like the mantra, believe in yourself. You can only count on yourself. Do whatever makes you happy, or God will make your life easy if you follow Him. He will bless you if you pray hard enough. Give more money and you will get more money, and so on. If we are not grounded sa pulong sa Ginoo, we don't have the lens of the word to filter everything, we become easily susceptible ani na mga lies. And here's my encouragement for you. Love sound doctrine, sound teaching, because it keeps you from false doctrine. So, you may be a housewife and stay-at-home mom, maybe an ESL teacher or an academic teacher or a call center agent or an engineer or a businessman or a woman, but let me tell you this, you are also a full-time thinker. You think every day. You interpret things around you every day. But the question is, do you have God's word that is rooted in the truth to help you see the reality? What is shaping your mind right now? Is it the word or the world? Again, we need to be a church who is concerned sa glory sa Ginoo, who submits to the authority of the scripture, and who embraces doctrines, who love doctrines grounded in the truth. And let me give you three applications, Ani. First is this. Read God's word to get closer to God. The goal of reading and teaching scripture is to know God. And as you know Him, you will love Him and worship Him more. It is meant to enjoy the fellowship with your Abba Father. It's not an academic pursuit. That's why it's very important you do. Remember that it's all about God's glory. Remove the glory of God and the Bible reading becomes an academic exercise. It becomes man-centered. It will lead you to pride because you think mas dagan ka nahibalan compared sa uban, or mas i-accept ka sa Ginoo kay nagabasa ka compared sa uban. John 5, 39-40, it says here, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Now, think about this. How come that the Jews, who were the best Bible students in the world, you know, who meticulously and continuously read the scripture, rejected Jesus? How could that happen? Well, one thing is clear. They read the scripture the wrong way. Though the Jewish leaders were really serious about their study of the scriptures, but they failed to see the Messiah to whom the scriptures pointed. They knew the rules, of course, but missed the Savior. Instead of drawing near to God, they rejected Jesus, who is the way to God. And you know what? This is a reminder for us that we are not supposed to read the Bible for facts or instructions only, okay? We must read it primarily to see Jesus, to know Him more. It must be a humbling experience to know more about our Savior and the one who created all things. And second, Application, accept His word, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Accept His word. If you place yourself under the authority of the scripture, you will really take His word whether it's inconvenient pa sa imong life. You know, when you read God's word and maigo ka, accept it. And if na-reveal nga idol sa imong kasing-kasing, admit it and repent from it. Na-emphasize ni Pastor Mark last time that one of the ministries of God's word is to really rebuke us, to for reproof. But it is where the healing or restoration process begins when you accept the rebuke sa imong kinabuhi. And Proverbs 6:23, it says, "For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." So being rebuked and to see our sins, the sins in our hearts, that's why we need to be disciplined to get back on the right path, is hard. I know it's hard, but according to the verse, it's the way of life. God's word is a lamp and a light that exposes our sins by His Spirit working in our hearts, leading us to a way of life. So if you don't feel like doing it whenever God confronts you of your sins, or you try to reason, I think tama ako, Lord. Dili ka tama. Humbly submit to God's word and obey Him more than your feelings and opinions. And thirdly, be careful what you feed your mind. Now, this is especially relevant sa atong time today. Because most of our time, nag-stay rata sa balay, right? And sometimes we find ourselves in front of the television or scrolling through our social media or in front of the computer screen. And we find ourselves, doing these things more than opening God's word or talking to God. You know, you sit down, pull up Netflix or Instagram or YouTube and let your mind be occupied sa kining mga butang. And you will say, well, 1 hour man, okay, I think okay na. 1 hour ako nag-scroll sa social media or sa episodes sa Netflix. Yes, 1 hour or 2 hours na mga igsoon, but scrolling through your news feeds or whatever entertainment you like can shape your convictions and principles sa kinabuhi. For example, how do you define love? Or what's your view of singleness and marriage after watching these drama series for 30 to 40 minutes? And today, naabot na mga favorite personalities and influencers na ginafollow na to, ang loyal kayo to sa ilaha, mustik yun to sa ilaha. And that's okay. But the danger is, mas mutuo pa ta sa ilahang gipang-ingon without even filtering what they are saying with the word of God, kay personality lagi. Without realizing it, you are being influenced by the characters or persons' opinions and actions rather than believing what God says in His word. Remember, what we watch, what we listen to are constantly feeding and influencing us, in which in turn influences our actions. Now, don't get me wrong, this is not to say that social media or any form of entertainment is bad, but we need to critically think about this because God tells us not to be conformed to the world. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is really good and acceptable and perfect, His perfect will." So God has put us in the world to testify of Jesus Christ, but we are not to be of the world. Biblical illiteracy is high, and some Christians' convictions and principles are subtly, without knowing it, is being shaped by the world more than the word. So three things that I want you to remember. Read God's word to be intimate with God and worship Him for who He is. Willingly accept rebuke and corrections in your life, knowing that it's for your good, and be careful what you feed your mind these days, knowing that we are living in a war with the world, with the flesh, and the devil. And so today, before the mag-end, let's celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Please get the communion elements you have there, right? And this communion is actually a picture of what He has done for us. You know, each one of us was lost and without hope, right? Each one of us fails to fulfill the purpose of why God created us, to glorify Him in all that we do. Each one of us is subject to His condemnation, but God sent His Son for us. And that is His free gift, so that we can be saved through Him and lived for His glory. And also, I want you to search your own hearts as we do this, and ask God to reveal anything that is not glorifying sa iya. Confess your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, and ask Him to empower you by His grace to live a life pleasing to Him. So now, let's come to the Lord with the attitude of humility, and thanksgiving in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, each time we take communion, Lord, we want to recommit our lives to you. We want to pray the psalmist prayer to search our hearts, O God. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. See if there's any offense or offensive way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. And if we see sin in our hearts, Lord, help us to repent from it and turn to you. And we are also forever grateful to what you've done for us, Jesus. This bread that symbolizes your body that was broken for us, and this juice that symbolizes your blood that was shed for us, reminds us of your great love for us, a sacrificial love even to the point of dying on the cross. And may we, in response, give our lives fully to you, O Lord, for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take the elements together. Now, thank you everyone for sharing the Lord's Supper with us and for joining us today sa atong online service. Now, we will continue the part 2, Anya, next week, and I hope to see you all. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we are so thankful for your word. If there are hard truths that we need to swallow, give us a humble heart to accept because we know that it's for our good. Make us aware of this spiritual battle we are facing every day. The battle with the flesh, the world, and the dead devil. There are so many voices we're hearing every day. And may we, as your sheep, will only listen to your voice through your word to fight against any lies from the enemy. I pray that we will place your word above our personal opinions, feelings, and experiences. Help us to believe this, O God, that there is nothing else gamay among basihan sa truth, and let your word really shape our minds and our actions. May we have a God-glorifying week this week as we surrender our lives to you and yield to your spirit to do what you have called us to do according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, thank you everyone for joining us today, and I hope you have a God-glorifying week this week, and God bless you. Blessed Sunday.